Hey, what's up, New Life Church? So glad to have you connecting with us this weekend. I want to welcome each of you that are maybe at home or maybe you're away. Thanks for joining in with us, worshiping with us in this way. And of course, like always, I want to encourage you to continue to worship with us with your giving and generosity. There's many ways you can give at New Life Church. You can, of course, give online. You can send it in the mail. You can even text to give. Just a huge shout out to all of our faithful people helping move the ministry of God forward in our Kokomo through New Life Church. And if you're new with us today, maybe you've not been to our in-person service or we've not met, I would love to know you're with us. Simply text the word connect to the number on the screen. And when you do that, our team will send you a digital form that you can just fill out and tell us a little about who you are. We want to give you some great next steps in your faith walk with Christ. And so thanks for being with us. We love to connect with you. So shoot us a text real quick. Well, we're going to be wrapping up our series, Help, I'm today. But I wanted to tell you that next week we're going to be launching a brand new series here at New Life. And I think it's going to be timely. I think the message will bring a lot of hope. And it's simply called this. It's called Elect Joy. Elect Joy. We're in the midst of an election season here in our country. And you know what? You have a third option. And you can choose joy. So we're going to be looking through the book of Philippians in this series. So join us next week as we kick off our Elect Joy series for four parts. And I look forward to having you there. But right now, today, we're wrapping up our series called Help, I'm. And in this series, we are looking at some various topics where I know people need help. And I know that there is no help like God's help. Man, there is no healing like God's healing, and there's no hope like God's help. There's no hope like God's hope. And so through this series, I hope that you're getting the help you need. I hope that you're going through these things. But let's look real quick about the helps that we've talked about. At week one, we said, help, I'm stuck. Week two, we said, help, I'm offended. And last week, we said, help, I'm stressed. Hope this is helping you. So last week when we talked about help, I'm stressed, we talked about five keys to turning the burners down, because when the heat gets turned up, our life can boil over or even potentially explode. So if you want to turn the burners down in your life, last week we said work to keep the peace with others. Keeping the peace with others turns the burner down in your life. But also be a hard worker, because when you are lazy, you actually increase stress and anxiety in your life. We said watch your physical health, that even 20 minutes of exercise a day can double your energy. And number four, we talked about how to be wise with your money. And five, if all of these things are a wreck, all of this is chaos, you need to start by making time with God, inviting the presence of God into your chaos. But the big idea, the big thing I wanted you to catch last week was to create more margin in your life. Creating more margin in relationships, creating more margin in your finances, creating more margin emotionally is going to help you stress less. So if you have not caught up on our Help I'm series, you can always go to newlifeforkokomo.org, and all of our messages are archived online. So even though today's the part four of our series, I would love for you to get caught up on the other weeks if you haven't yet already, because I want you to have the help that God has for us. But today, we're going to finish up our series, and the cry is this. The cry is, help, I'm tempted. Help, I'm tempted. Now, everyone is vulnerable to temptation. According to Barna research survey, 61% of people live in a state of noticeable and debilitating temptation to anxiety and worry. There's all kinds of temptations. 60% of people are often struck by habits of procrastination. So there is a temptation for people to procrastinate, a temptation to be lazy. We talked a little bit about that last week. And get this, there's 28,258 users watching pornography every second. Every single second. So we know that in our culture, there is a high level of temptation for sexual immorality. Also, 55% face the temptation to overeat. We know this, that it is a problem even here in America. 44% of people admit to overusing electronics and social media. So we know that temptation is everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And although we know Satan has no power in our life, he will use the power of temptation to entice you to wreck your life yourself, all on your own. And so I think that people need help in understanding how to combat, how to fight temptation in their life before they wreck their life. So temptation, there's a few things I want you to know right up front, is that temptation is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. Many times when followers of Jesus are experiencing high levels of temptation, some believe that it is because of sin in their life, but it is not always that being tempted is not a sin, right? It is when you act upon those temptations is when sin does occur. The reason why we know temptation itself is not a sin is because in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus faced temptation. He actually was tempted by the devil himself. We're going to look at this account a little bit later in the message. And also, it's important to know that temptation is not from God. Many times when people are facing temptation, they think, well, God must be tempting me, he's testing me, or God is doing this to me, he's punishing me, so he's putting this temptation right in front of me as some form of punishment. But that is not the case, because James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desires and enticed. So do not say that God is tempting me. God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt people. So we know it's not a sin, it's not from God, but also we know that temptation, it will happen. It will happen. Luke 17, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. So we know temptation is not a sin, it's not from God, and it will happen. So if we know temptation will happen, then shouldn't we have some tools? Shouldn't we have some awareness to know of what we're going to do when temptation comes? Because temptation's goal is always to drag you away, entice you, pull you away from God's purpose and will for your life, and it always leads to places you don't want to go. Temptation is not a new trick of the enemy. Temptation has actually been around. It's been the strategy of Satan since the beginning of humanity. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see the account of Adam and Eve. We call this chapter, that we kind of call this the fall of man. That God made man in his own image and likeness, so man was absolutely perfect, knew no sin, knew no wrong, and it didn't take very long for humanity to fall into sin. And how did that happen? Well, this serpent in the story represents Satan, and how the serpent tempted Adam and Eve into falling away from, in other words, they were separated from God because of their sin, and they fell. They made a mistake, they sinned. And it says this, Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And so right away, one of the enemy's tactics is always to make you doubt, to cause you to doubt God. Did God really say? Then the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And she's exaggerating a little bit here. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. So now he's saying, he's kind of like stirring up, not just like, hey, look at this, but it's also, it's going to be good. Like, look what you can gain from it. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman, watch this, saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and it was pleasing to the eye, and so desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And right here, we see the strategy of Satan and how to get people to fall. And right here, all of humanity fell at this moment in time. And we see here we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2 says it like this: for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Did you know that when Adam and Eve were first created by God, they were created to live forever? One of the consequences of the sin that they got entangled in was that now that they would surely die, the Lord said. And death is another term we use for sin, or it can also represent separation from God. And so when we fall to temptation, it causes this separation from God. It causes this spiritual death, so to speak. But it all starts with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me tell you about temptation's goal. Temptation's goal is to appeal to your flesh, right? Appeal to your eyes, appeal to your pride. It's exactly what this serpent did in the garden. The serpent said, look at this fruit. Did God really say? And look at what you could gain from eating this fruit. So temptation's goal is always to somehow appeal to you, entice you, seduce you. And following temptation's enticement always, always, always leads to death, darkness, and decrease. So what the serpent is always good at doing is taking death, darkness, and decrease, which you would never choose on your own, and somehow making it look appealing, somehow twisting it and perverting it and making it look appealing so that you will take a bite out of sin. Because he doesn't have the power to control you, so he wants to tempt you to wrecking your own life. And so we saw in the garden how the serpent came, enticed Adam and Eve. They took a bite of sin, right? They ultimately fell. And temptation has been working its way through humanity ever since. Even Jesus, when he walked on this earth, even he faced temptation from the devil himself. The outcome was a little bit different. So let's look at Jesus' example of how he faced temptation in his life. In Matthew 4, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. See, the devil does not fight fair. He'll do anything to distract you, to deter you. And Jesus here, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he's hungry. So how does Satan tempt him? Satan tempts him where he was vulnerable, tempts him where he was hungry. He says, turn these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered these three words. And these three words you need to know too. When it comes to temptation, you say, it is written. So Jesus' response to the temptation of the devil was, it is written. Well, if you don't know, I mean, yeah, then you have to ask the question, written where? He is quoting now the scriptures. He's utilizing the word of God, which is truth. So the best way to combat the devil's temptation, which he always uses lies to entice you, to appeal you to darkness, death, and decrease, he has to lie to you to make that look appealing. So to combat the lie, you have to use the truth. And it is written in the word of God, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said this, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Watch what Satan does. For it is written. For it is written. Even this serpent knows the word of God. And any time the serpent uses scripture, it's a lie. The only language that this serpent, Satan himself, the only language he knows how to speak is the language of lies. So this is why it's so important that you know the scripture and you know the Father. He says, for it is written, he will command you and his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. So the devil uses scripture, and Jesus fires back again. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And so again, a third time, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the devil says, all of this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And so many times, when the enemy tempts people, he is promising them some type of benefit. Look at everything that you could have. Look at all the fame you could have. Look at all the pleasure that you could have. You could have all of this if you just bow down and worship me. Watch Jesus' response. Again, Jesus said to him, he said, away from me, Satan. Here it is. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. So you have got to. If we learn anything from Jesus' example, is you have got to know the word of God. And it is also possible to know the word of God and not know the Father, which is why the serpent, this Satan, he could use scripture to try to trick Jesus. But he was using the scripture outside of relationship with the Father. We also know that the Pharisees and Sadducees were some of the most religious people in Jesus' day. And they knew all the scripture. They memorized all the scripture. But yet they had lots of hidden sin. So you have to know the word and you got to know the Father. So I want to give you four things in helping you combat temptation. Help you not to be enticed, allured, or taken away from God's perfect pleasing and goodwill for your life. The first thing I want to tell you is to control the diet of desire. Remember, James says, you were tempted when you were dragged away and enticed by your own desire. There's this old illustration that maybe you've heard it before. It says that on the inside of every person, there is two wolves. There are two wolves. One wolf is of darkness and despair, and the other wolf is of light and hope. And these two dogs are always fighting. These two wolves are always, always fighting. So here's the question. Which wolf wins? Which wolf wins? The wolf that wins is the wolf that you feed. It's the one that you feed. So what we can learn about how to deal with temptation in our life, you have to control the diet of desire. So what desires in you are you feeding the most? Are you feeding your spirit man? Are you feeding him by like we said, knowing the word, knowing the Father? Or are you feeding your flesh? By dabbling in sin, saying, well, just this one time. It's not that bad. Which desire are you fulfilling the most? Because whichever wolf you are feeding more will be the wolf that wins the fight. They're always in conflict with one another. Galatians 5, it says it like this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Look at this. They are in conflict with each other all of the time. Spirit and flesh, they're in conflict. So that you are not to do what you want. So your spirit man, your flesh will never be saved. It's sinful by nature. Your spirit is a pure spirit of God in you, and they're in conflict with each other. So you have to control the diet of desire and feed the good dog. You got to feed the good dog and starve the darkness out of you. So whatever it is that you may be tempted by, there's so many temptations that are plaguing people today. Whatever it is that is tempting you, you have to look at the diet of your desires. You have to look through your life and figure out, how am I feeding the darkness of that temptation? And then you've got to get the boldness, the audacity to begin to starve the darkness out of you and feed the spirit man. Feed the spirit, starve the darkness, and you can begin to push back and build strength against what is tempting you, plaguing you, and enticing you. The second thing is, I want you to be aware. To be aware. To be aware is to be on watch for what entices and tempts. So that, because when temptation comes, you will not be caught off guard. You will not be caught off guard. When people are caught off guard, they are more susceptible to falling to temptation. Matthew 26, 41, it says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you have to keep watch. Be aware. Now, when Jesus was out in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil during that time, remember, he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and what was he? He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And the first way that the devil tried to tempt Jesus was by telling him, turn these stones into bread, because the devil knew exactly where he was vulnerable. And the devil has been studying humanity for thousands of years. His tricks don't change, right? And he is going to come after you. He's going to come after your family where you are vulnerable. So let me ask you, and you should ask yourself, where am I vulnerable? Where am I vulnerable? So if you want to really build an awareness so you're not caught off guard by temptation, ask yourself, where am I vulnerable? Simply consider these questions. When am I most tempted? Is there a certain time of the day? Is there a certain time of the week? When am I most tempted? And make a note of that. Become aware. Also, where am I most tempted? Are you tempted most when you're at home? Are you tempted most when you're at work? Are you tempted most when you're out on the town by yourself? Are you tempted most when you're away from your parents? Are you tempted most when you are out of town? Where am I tempted most? You build an awareness of answering these questions so that you can begin to prepare, be aware, and have a plan. Also ask this, who is with me when I'm the most tempted? Who is with me when I'm the most tempted? If you are struggling due to alcohol in your life, then you don't want to hang out with people that drink. You got to separate yourself. So ask the question, who is with me when I'm the most tempted? Ask the question, what temporary benefit do I get if I give in? And I emphasize, and you should emphasize to yourself, that it is a temporary benefit. What temporary benefit do I get if I give in? In other words, whatever that temporary benefit is, it's not worth it. Lastly, how do I feel before I'm tempted? This is all about trying to figure out what emotions trigger temptation in you. What places trigger temptation? What people are you around that are triggers? If you can begin to identify the different triggers to your temptation, then you know how to begin to resist and build a plan around where you know you're vulnerable. So where are you vulnerable? Okay, now the third thing is this. The third thing is don't resist temptation. Refocus your attention. Refocus your attention. It's like this. Many times when people are trying to resist a temptation, it's as though they're looking right at it saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, there's been times in my life that I've gone through a diet where I'm cutting out sugar, I'm cutting out carbs, right? And my wife, she's an awesome cook. She's a good baker. And I really believe my wife makes the best chocolate chip cookies that anybody could ever eat. And there's been times when she's making these chocolate chip cookies. And can you just imagine with me for a moment, like the smell filling the house when I walk in. I can smell those chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, oh man, that's so good. And I go and I just watch her. And she scoops out that cookie dough and puts it on the pan. I'm like, oh, those look so good. I just start watching. I just start watching. And then she sees me over there and I've got a cookie, right? And I'm smelling. She said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just smelling it. I'm not eating it. I'm not eating it. I know I'm not supposed to, but I just want to smell it. And then after a while, after looking at the cookies and smelling the cookies, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, that's it. I'll eat one. Just one won't hurt me. I just want one. And then throughout the night, you know, one becomes two, two becomes three, and then it's got me, it's trapped me. Well, like I said, Satan's strategy for temptation has been the same since the beginning of time. And if you can become aware of his strategy, then you can realize you don't have to keep resisting it. You can just change your focus. Here's the temptation of strategy, is that it wants to get your attention. It's like just looking at the cookies. It wants to get your attention, which is all in your thoughts. It's all in your thoughts. And so if temptation comes to you, and maybe it's a sexual temptation, and you're watching TV, and something of sexual nature, sexual arousal comes on, you don't look at it and saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. You change the channel. You change the channel. So attention is that it's in your thoughts. So if you want to resist temptation, change your thoughts, change the channel. The second is arousal. Arousal is the emotions. It's now you emotionally are considering, well, I guess it wouldn't be that bad, would it? And then last of all, action. And that is the doing. So the strategy is to get you in your thoughts, get you in your emotions, and then get you to do it. And many times when people try to resist temptation, they are trying not to do it. I'm trying not to do it, Pastor Devin. I'm trying not to do it. I'm trying not to do it. I'm trying not to do it. But if you're at the point of trying not to do it, you've just about already lost the game. So your strategy in resisting temptation is really about refocusing your attention. So change your thoughts. Change the channel and change your emotions. You don't want to become emotionally attached to it. Now, there's a word in the Bible called iniquity. The Hebrew word for the word iniquity is the word avon, A-V-N, avavnun. And all the way back in ancient times, Hebrew was written in Paleo-Hebrew, which is pictures. And so each letter is a picture, and each word becomes a comic strip. The word iniquity, this word avon, it literally means it's a picture of an eye, a picture of a hook, and fish multiplying. So what the word literally means is whatever your eye hooks to multiplies. And so if the strategy of the enemy is to get your attention and your thoughts, And you can hook your eye to whatever is enticing you, and then it stirs you up in your emotions, and you're hooked to it, and then you end up doing it. It multiplies in your mind. It continues in your life. So if you're just trying not to do it, you're going to continue it because you're giving it attention by resisting the very thing. But instead of trying to resist it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You got to turn around and change your attention. Put your attention on something else. So if you know you are most tempted when you are alone, then what you need to do is you need to get some people in your life. You need to build some people around your life that you can call when you're weak. You have to learn how to just not, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And start trying to change your attention so you can reduce arousal and emotions so that you don't do it. Romans 12, 21, it says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So it's about replacing one with something else. So replace temptation to do it. Replace it by shifting your attention, finding another way to distract yourself, and feed the good dog. And I've got some really good news, and that's this, number four. When it comes to temptation, you don't have to face it alone. You don't have to face temptation alone. A lot of people have some hidden temptations that maybe they've told nobody about, or things that have plagued you for a long, long, long time. And you know what? God's not mad at you. He just wants you to be free. But the great news is you don't have to face what you're going through alone. Hebrews 2:18, it says, because Jesus suffered when he was tempted, and we read that account earlier, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The number one place to turn when you are facing temptations and difficulties is to turn to the one who has been through what you've been through, and he overcame. You see, Adam and Eve, they were tempted, but they fell. Jesus was tempted in all things, and he overcame. So you don't have to face your temptation alone. You can turn to the one who overcame it once and for all. He did it for you. Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest, who is Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness. Jesus has empathy for you. Whatever that struggle is, whatever you're being tempted with, he's not mad. He has empathy for you. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So whatever struggle you're in, I beg you, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You don't have to face what you're going through alone. We have one far greater than us. He has already overcome all things. You can turn to him. But you know what? Sometimes you need somebody in your corner. You need somebody who you can confess to, you can talk to, you can share your struggle with. This is why life groups at New Life are so important, that you get yourself in a life group so you can begin to do life together and you can begin to share struggles together. This is why being a part of a church community is so important, so that you have people to talk through your stuff with. And you have somebody in your corner, because it is all about each other, helping one another move in the same direction. So wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, wherever you're watching this from, listening to this from, whatever day of the week it may be, temptation is everywhere. It's plaguing homes. It's plaguing churches. And you have to have a strategy to know how to resist the temptation. And you can resist it by refocusing your attention, getting some people in your corner, and feeding your spirit, man, controlling the diet of your desires. And some of you are going to need to make some serious immediate changes in what desires you are feeding in your life. Maybe that means that you have got to change who you hang out with or where you go on Friday nights. Or it might mean that you just need to change the type of content that you're entertaining your eyes with, because it's feeding desires in you that are leading to temptations that are too hard to overcome. But regardless of all of that, somebody needs to today repent of your ways and actually make a turn away from the direction that you're going, where your desires are leading the way, and flip 180 degrees and go towards God. Repentance means to turn. It also means to change your mind. And remember, temptation starts with getting your attention. It's all in your thoughts. So that you need to replace the old way of thinking with new. And I think of no better way of replacing old with new than establishing a loving relationship with Jesus. Like we said, he's been tempted in all things, but yet he lived the perfect life that you and I never will. And then ultimately, it led to Jesus dying the death that you and I deserve for all the times that we failed. We deserve the punishment of death, yet Jesus took that upon himself. And because of that, he now declares us the ones that can be set free because of the price he paid. So if you need freedom from what's plaguing you, tempting you, today, you can call upon the name of Jesus and be set free from what has bound you, and be free and forgiven from what mistakes you have made. And then I invite you to come and join into this community of people here at New Life Church. We are an each other type church where you can have somebody where you can talk through your stuff with and get totally free. So if your cry this morning is, "Help, I'm tempted," would you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are watching this, wherever they are, wherever they're watching from. Temptation has plagued people for many, many years, sometimes their whole life. And they can live free. They can live whole. And God, help us to feed the Spirit, that we would turn our attention to you, things that are good, that we will control the diet of desire in Jesus' name. Now, God, for those that have been caught up and entangled in mistakes and in sin, God, I pray that they would get set free right now today by accepting the free gift of Jesus, that you are lavishing your forgiveness and love upon us. And God, may we be set free from our mistakes and be empowered to resist all of the devil's tactics by changing our mind, controlling our desires. May you be our one desire in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vail Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.